Well, after ruling Israel for 40 long years, the King David went to be with the Lord, and as he passed on his kingdom of Israel to his son Solomon. And after Solomon had taken the throne, God spoke these six powerful words to King Solomon. He said, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon asked for what? For wisdom. And God granted his request, and God gave Solomon wisdom beyond measure. And people traveled from great distances, all nations, just to hear his wisdom. And yet, we have it right here at our fingertips. God's wisdom given to Solomon, and we can reach it any time of the day, any day of the week, and it is right there. And we should understand the value of what we have. And that's the first step of what we've talked about every Sunday, of how to receive God's wisdom, to understand the value of God's wisdom, to seek it out, to get wisdom, to stand in awe of God, to surrender our wisdom to his wisdom, and to receive God's wisdom, and then to put it into practice. And that was in our very first sermon, and we've been repeating those points every Sunday, because that's what we need to do as we immerse ourselves in these different topics of wisdom. Now, I want to let you know that Proverbs talks about many, many different topics. It just so happens that a number of the main topics that the Proverbs talk about, they are reoccurring in various places, and they happen to begin with the letter, the English letter, W. So this would not be the same in the Hebrew or whatnot, but it makes it easy for us to teach, since we all speak English and we see these English words, and these are very big subjects in the book of Proverbs, but the book of Proverbs is not just limited to these. So the wisdom that you're getting and hearing on these various Sundays, there's much more where this comes from. I'm just highlighting some of the key topics that we see in the book of Proverbs. So I highly, highly encourage you to dig into the book of Proverbs on your own and read through it and just eat up all that wisdom that people traveled from miles and miles and miles to hear. And we have it right here where we can get it. So the W so far we've talked about wisdom, work, wealth, words, and today, women. Women is our W word today. And it is about women, and it is for women, but it is not only for women. Today has a lot to do with both men and women all around the subject of women. Good for the married and the not yet married. And for those of you who have been married for decades, or if you were married for decades and your spouse has already gone to be with the Lord, we will be able to relate with this wisdom from the experience that we have had through our years and decades of marriage. And so let me encourage you that as you hear these proverbs of wisdom and you kind of nod your head internally and go, yeah, that's good stuff. That's wisdom. If I'd have had that earlier in my marriage, or if I would have stuck with that through my marriage, then things would have been even better than what they were. And so we can encourage those by pointing them to Proverbs. We can ourselves always be inspired to be better, no matter how long you've been married. We can always make it better. We can always get better at it. But those of us who have experience and we hear these Proverbs and we hear this wisdom, then even if your spouse has already gone on, you can still encourage others and say, hey, this is good stuff right here. So what I'm saying is that even though the topic is women, none of us can check out today. None of us can check out. There is wisdom here that we can use in our lives and encourage others to use in their lives. And so the wisdom on Proverbs is on women. There's also Proverbs about wives and Proverbs about wedlock. And so those are all W's there. But we just had room for one W. So women kind of encompasses all of that. And while I was going back through and reviewing all this wisdom after being married for almost 26 years, coming up on that very shortly, there were a lot of reminders going through this. And so it's easy when you get to this stage. And some of you guys have already been to this stage. You're like, yep, been there. Know that. You know, you got kids, you got busy schedules, you got ups and downs and life struggles and jobs and schedules and so much more, and it's unfortunately easy to forget that showing love, showing value, is done intentionally. It doesn't just happen always naturally. Sometimes it's there, but if you really want to do it, you have to do it on purpose. It takes focus. It takes discipline. And so going back through and reviewing some of these things at my stage in life, I'm like, man, this is good stuff. So it's good for all of us to be reminded. If you're learning it new, it's great for you. Apply it. If you're being reminded of it, then this is a great time for that. If you're on the other side of it all and you're like, yep, been there, done that, there's always something extra, and there's the bonus of being able to encourage all of those that are still working through all of these different stages. So just tons and tons of stuff today. If you saw the bulletin, some of you guys might have had a mini heart attack. It's okay. We're just going to move quick. There's a lot of blanks, but there's a lot of information about women in the book of Proverbs. So today we're going to start off with a subject that covers everybody. Everybody can relate to this subject. Everybody can connect to this subject on women, because this is a woman that we have all had in our lives, every one of us, and that is a mother. Let's write that down. Mothers. Mothers. Proverbs 23:22. Listen to your father who gave you life. Wait a minute. That's about fathers. But the second half. And do not despise your mother when she is old. Do not despise your mother when she is old. Now, that's kind of a depressing way of looking at it. But if we flip that, what's the opposite of despising? That would be appreciating, right? To appreciate. So let's write that down. Let's flip that to the positive side and write down that truth, the positive. Show your aging mother appreciation. Show your aging mother appreciation. Do not despise your mother when she is old. It's the same truth. We all know this to be true. We all know that this is wisdom, but sometimes we just need a little nudge, don't we? We just need a little something to say, here, you should do the wise thing. If you're blessed enough to still have your mother on this earth, call your mom this afternoon. Don't wait till tomorrow. Make a little note in your bulletin, star this, do something. Call your mother this afternoon and tell her how much you appreciate her. It matters on her birthday. It matters on Mother's Day. But when you call her out of the middle of nowhere and say, Mom, I appreciate everything that you did. I thank you so much for changing my diaper. For taking care of me all the ways that you did. For all the wisdom that you gave to me. Don't let a day go by. It's those of you who no longer have your mother here, you would say to all those that do, you got to listen to the preacher man on that one. Call her today and show appreciation for your aging mother. Proverbs 23:25, just a couple verses down, it says, let your father and mother be glad. I love the way he words this. Let her who bore you rejoice. Let's write this down. Live a life that makes your mother proud of your choices. That's great wisdom. You know, we think of the old bracelets, you know, what would Jesus do? Well, we can also think, what would my mom be proud of this? You know, before you make a decision, before you're going to do something, just think, if I called my mom and told her about this, would she be proud or disappointed? Make your mom proud. Let her who bore you rejoice. One of the Ten Commandments, the Big Ten, we're told honor your father and mother, correct? Okay. Now the Ten Commandments, we compartmentalize this one. We think that 9 of the commandments were given to all those that Moses came down the mountain for. And then Moses had one of those little church moments where he sat down on the front and had all the kids come up and they had a little kids junior moment. And he says, now honor your father and mother. But that's not what happened, is it? No. The Ten Commandments were written. The original audience were adults. So the original commandment was adults, honor your older, your adult parents. Honor them. So we can go back to the first one. to show appreciation for your aging mother, but also to make decisions that would bring honor to your parents. Make decisions that would bring honor to your mother, that she would be proud of the choices you're making. Let her who bore you rejoice. Our next note is what Aretha Franklin sung about in 1967. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Respect and honor. We've all heard the expression that respect is earned. Well, Proverbs 11 shows how women can gain and lose respect or honor, translated different ways in different versions. Proverbs 11:16, a gracious woman, or a kind-hearted woman, as the NIV would translate that, same idea, gets honor or gets respect. And violent men get riches. That one, we just need the first half of that. We're talking about women today. A kind-hearted or a gracious woman gains respect or gains honor. Let's write this down. Women gain honor by being kind-hearted, by being gracious. Women, by nature, are nurturers. They're caring and gentle and compassionate. Let me encourage you, women, from a Bible-based understanding of femininity, not this masculine version of femininity that's celebrated as feminism, because it's not feminism, it's masculinism. It doesn't make sense to me at all. But let me encourage you to celebrate your femininity. Celebrate your womanness, if I can make up a word. You're by nature kind-hearted. You're by nature caring. You're by nature nurturing. And in a society that is so confused about genders and gender roles, don't let that faze you. You tap into what you know is natural inside, and you celebrate being a woman. You celebrate being kind-hearted. You celebrate being gracious. And this proverb says that the natural result, the typical result from that, is that a woman who is kind-hearted or a woman who is gracious will receive respect. They will receive honor. Just a few verses down, we see how a woman loses respect or loses honor. Proverbs 11:22, like a gold ring in a pig's snout, is a beautiful woman without discretion. We read that feels a little offensive, doesn't it? That's pretty offensive to, you know, and that's offensive to us here in just modern day America. But we have to remember the audience this was written to. That would be very offensive to Israelites. A pig's snout. That's what a beautiful woman looks like when she doesn't show discretion. Like this beautiful thing, a ring in a pig's snout. See, this would be more offensive to the Jewish reader because pigs were considered unclean. They couldn't eat them. They could not enjoy pigs the way we enjoy pigs today. They didn't enjoy ham. They didn't enjoy bacon. Let's have a moment of silence. I had bacon this morning that guy paid for in front of me. They didn't enjoy pulled pork sandwiches or pork tenderloins or pork chops or barbecued ribs, pickled pig's feet, pig ears. None of that. They didn't enjoy any of that because the pig was totally useless to them. It was unclean. And so this picture communicates vividly, more vividly than it did to us just a moment ago, to its original readers. What good would it be to adorn something that is unclean, that is useless? What good is that? And he says, it's the same thing as a beautiful woman. Yeah, she's beautiful, but what good is that if she's going to act that way? If she's going to live with no discretion? So women lose respect by lacking discretion. Let's write that down. Women lose respect by lacking discretion. So ladies, I just throw that out to you this morning, straight from the Proverbs. The choice is yours, to be gracious and kind-hearted, or to run around like a pig with a nose ring. Sock it to me, sock it to me, sock it to me, right? Just a little bit, just a little bit, just a little bit. R. Yeah, you can't spell it either, can you? R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Kind heart or no pig with a nose ring. There we go. So that's wisdom from chapter 11 on the subject of wisdom or respect and honor. Now we're going to narrow the scope. So we came from mothers. Everybody's got a mother. And down into women. And now we're going to go into wives. Another W word. Because Proverbs says a lot about wives. Has a lot to say about that. So that's why we have a lot of notes today. So to wives. Many of us have heard the expression, behind every great man is a, well, not just a woman, like a great woman. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And there's a lot of truth to that. So let's write this down. A wife, as a wife, you can strengthen or weaken your husband. It goes both ways. As a wife, you can strengthen or weaken your husband. Wives have the power to give great strength to their husbands. And as with many things that we experience, when you have the potential for great good, you also have the potential for great bad. And we find both in chapter 12, verse 4. Proverbs writer says, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband. Well, that's nice, isn't it? But she who brings shame is like rottenness in his bones. Oh, that's kind of rough. She who brings shame is like rottenness in his bones. That's harsh. But it gives us a picture of what a shameful wife does to her husband. Let's write that down just straight from Scripture. A shameful wife can rot her husband from the inside out. Solomon is telling us that wives, if they are disgraceful to their husbands, they can cause rot in the inside of his bones. It's hard to get more inside than that as far as the structure of a human body. You attack the inside of a bone and you rot it from the inside. None of the rest of the body is going to be able to do any good against that. So what are disgraceful actions? They can come from public behavior, you know, not using discretion in your personal relationships, making choices that make you look like a pig with a gold ring in its snout. And that reflects on the marriage and that reflects on the husband. And this can weaken your husband. These disgraceful actions can happen internally. They can happen privately in the marriage through dishonoring or disrespecting your husband. Which may be implied by the understanding of the Proverbs writer talking about this rottenness inside the bones, that it is an inside thing, that it's a private thing, that it's hidden from external visibility, but these things are happening on the inside. You use discouraging words constantly. There was a couple in college that Jess and I were very close to. Great couple. And they just, you know how you see some couples and you're like, oh, they just belong together, you know? And that's how this couple was. They fit well. They were both fun to be around. We hung out around with them a lot. But as we learned more about, and they were newlyweds. They were, you know, we were all just freshly married within the same year with each other. I believe we were about a year apart, right? And they were fun, and they were fun individually, and you got them together, and they were fun, and we were all together, and it was fun. But as we got to know them a little more, we found out that she was a name caller and a nagger at home, which is actually something that she saw her mother do to her father, and she told herself, I would never do that. But it's so easy to take those patterns of what you've seen and to unconsciously allow them to be your model. I mean, that was what she grew up with. And she didn't hear it, not at first, but he heard it, and other people heard it when we were close enough to them to hear it. And So things were breaking down in their relationship. She went to counseling. The husband in the relationship had already kind of checked out. So she started going to marriage counseling by herself. She started hearing the things that were coming out of her mouth, that she was a nagging wife, that she was a name caller, that she would make these impossible lists and then complain because they weren't done, and then complain when they were done that they weren't done right. And she realized, oh no, I've become my mom. I'm doing what I didn't want to do. And she started correcting that and started really becoming a pretty awesome wife, but it was too little too late type of situation. They ended up getting a divorce. To this day, to the best of my knowledge, what I can see, I haven't seen a whole lot from her in a long time, but I do still see things from him. And they're both remarried, and from last time I saw, both were very happy, so they made adjustments. They did some things to better themselves and to make better choices a second go-round. But that story is not uncommon, unfortunately. That happens. That happens a lot. And sometimes we don't realize what words are coming out or what it sounds like or what it's doing. And sometimes we need a proverb that's that strong to kind of wake us up a little bit. That a disgraceful wife can cause rot in the innermost parts of her husband and in his structure, in his skeletal system. You know, along with a nagging wife, Proverbs talks about a quarrelsome wife, which they would be very much in the same category. I'm gonna rapid fire a couple different proverbs off, and then we're gonna take one huge big old note that's gonna take up the whole screen. So Proverbs 21, there's a couple verses in 21. Verse 9 says, "It is better to live in a corner of the housetop than in a house shared with a quarrelsome wife." Okay. I didn't know if I'd get a bold amen from that or not, but you're playing it wise, men. You're playing it wise. Good thing we had words last week. I got you prepared for this week. Wise words. Okay, so Proverbs 21:19, skipping down a little bit. It's better to live in a desert land than with a quarrelsome and fretful woman or ill-tempered woman. Proverbs 27:15, a continual dripping on a rainy day and a quarrelsome wife are alike. It's Chinese water torture is what that was called. So let's put all those together and we laugh, but man, there's truth in this. Let's write this down. It's better to live on the corner of the roof or in a desert than in a house with a quarrelsome and ill-tempered wife because she is a constant dripping on a rainy day. Shoo! I don't think any woman or any person for that matter purposefully sets out to be this kind of person. So this isn't only limited to women. Guys can be quarrelsome. Guys can be ill-tempered. It just so happens that it went with the W today. And Proverbs talks about the W of wives in this topic. You know, if we're honest with ourselves, we've all been able to look into the mirror at one point another time, or at one point or another, at various times, and we see this person, man or woman. So we have to be deliberate, we have to be disciplined, we have to watch our words that come out of our mouth. Last week's sermon, listen to your tone. It's easy to identify this in your spouse and say, man, I'm glad my spouse is here. Or I wish my spouse was here. I wish they'd hear this. But we need to self-reflect and say, okay, is it better to live on the corner of a rooftop or in a desert than to deal with my drippiness? And if that's the truth, we have to face up to that and look in the mirror and say, I need to do something about that today. So we just looked at the negative verse or negative side. Proverbs 12:4 actually had a positive and a negative. We got stuck here in the negative, and I did that on purpose because I like to end with the positive. I like to end with the up. Okay. So back to Proverbs 12:4. What does it say about the wife? It says some good things about it. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband. But she who brings shame is like rottenness to his bones. We talked about that, but what about that first part? An excellent wife is the crown of her husband. A what? A crown. That's a powerful word to use, and it's coming from a king who just received the crown. So he knows that feeling of, wow, this is pretty awesome to be the man, you know? If a man walks around with a crown, people look at him and they go, whoa, he must be important. He must have it together. He must be wise. Let's write this down. Women are a crown to their husband if they are of noble character. The crown says, he's important. He's valuable. He's got it all together. And that's what a wife of noble character can do to her husband. She's his crown. She makes him look important, valuable. You have the opportunity to do that, wives. And so what does a wife of noble character, what does an excellent wife look like? And I'm going to go here. Some of you, when you first saw this series, you thought, oh, I hope he doesn't go there. I hope he doesn't preach on Proverbs 31. But I have to go to Proverbs 31 on a Sunday about women, because it talks about the excellent wife, or the wife of noble character. And if you're not familiar with Proverbs 31, you're going to be in just a moment. Proverbs 31 paints this amazing picture of this perfect wife that just seems so far out of reach that it can't even be imagined by women. And you know, a lot of women, they're like, please don't teach on Proverbs 31. It makes us all look bad. My goal today is to take this section of scripture and make it obtainable for you. Sometimes goals that are big, they just seem out of reach. Years and years and years ago, I don't remember, 12 years ago or something, I had injured my shins playing soccer, playing on these hard surfaces. I played a mixture of indoor and outdoor before I moved up here, but when I moved up here, it was strictly indoor. And those hard surfaces, sometimes your knees go out because of the hard surfaces. My shins took it, and I thought I had shin splints, like my son deals with, yes. But then once we got a bone scan and all, in fact, Jess was pregnant with Judah, and I couldn't be within 5 feet, and it was the first time we had slept separate in our whole marriage was when I was radioactive, because I had a bone scan and found out that I had 2 stress fractures in one shin and 1 stress fracture in the other, and the doctor said, no wonder it hurt when you ran. So his wisdom to me was, he said, okay, now you're ready, you're ready to go back, but you can go back at like 50%. And I was like, man, I've played soccer for my whole life, like since I was a little guy, 7, 6, whatever, however old I could get into it. I said, I know when I step foot on that field, I'm going to right up to 100%. It's just, it's in my blood. It's what I do. He said, well, find a sport that you've never, ever done before. I was like, well, that makes sense. He said, and that'll cause you to start from ground up. So I was at the Harrison 4th of July parade and got a sheet handed to me about Harrison Taekwondo. And I was like, hey, that involves kicking. That's like soccer. I'll get into that for 6 months, rehab, and then I'll be back out at Soccer City. Well, 12 years later, I have 4 stripes on my belt, and I have a pair of brand new cleats that are still sitting in my closet that I bought just before that injury. And I never did go back. I've learned so much, but one of the biggest things I learned in Taekwondo is that belt system. My belts are hanging up in the multipurpose room up there in the gym where we practice, and those belts taught me something. Because when I started, I didn't expect to even stay. I didn't expect to ever get a black belt. But I was one belt, I was another belt, I was another belt, I was another belt. And I'm here, and you get a review test, and you're like, wow, I've learned all this. And then when I was a black belt, or brown belt, black stripe, the last colored belt you get, and Master Beckman said, all right, let's get started with your black belt training. I was like, what? And I was there before I knew it. And so ladies, when I started, the black belt was Proverbs 31. Let me help you, because you can do a white belt, yellow stripe, yellow belt, gold belt, orange tip, orange belt, green belt, etc. All you have to do is just break it down into bite-sized pieces, okay? So Proverbs 31 is obtainable. I believe that. And I want to encourage you as we walk through this quickly and just step by step by step by step. Proverbs 31, an excellent wife or a noble wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The jewel or the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. So let's write this down. Very simple. She's trustworthy. She's trustworthy. I'm going to write down, I believe it's 8 different things here. And you can just take one at a time. You don't have to do them all at once. Just one at a time, work on it, start achieving it, step on, add in the next one, bring that in the mix. Just like the belt system. Proverbs 31:12, she does good to him. I like how the Proverbs writer has to clarify, not harm. Okay, just to let you know, this is what good means. It means not harm. She brings good to him, not harm, all the days of her life. Let's write that down. She brings good, not harm, to her husband his whole life, or all her whole life, rather. You can do that. You can do that, ladies. That's bite-sized. You can be trustworthy. You can do both of those. You can bring good. The next 10 verses, if you were to read those, they goes on about how she takes care of her family. She gets food and she prepares it for her family. She's up before anyone else in the house, and she does all, and I think this is the more intimidating part, because it just goes through this huge list of things that she does. She handles personal business deals for her family. She plants a vineyard. She sows. She works vigorously. And many women read that list, and that's where they hang it up, and they're like, nope, can't do it. That's impossible. But if we just step back, really what all those verses are saying is that she does all she can to support her family. And you can do that. Let's write that down. She just took the gifts she had. She took her skills. Her skill set involved what we read in Proverbs 31. What's your skill set? What can you do to provide for your family, to do all you can to support your family? That's bite-sized. We're told in the midst of all that she's generous in verse 20. The act of generosity reveals this gracious heart. So that's what grace does. Grace gives this kind heart, kind, caring heart. And we've already talked about that a kind-hearted woman gains respect or gains honor. So this act of generosity is an external exhibition of this internal quality of kindheartedness or graciousness. Not only does she have a kind, caring, generous heart, but she is also strong and dignified. Let's write that down. Strong and dignified. Proverbs 31:25. Strength and dignity are her clothing. I love this next one. And she laughs. She laughs at the time to come. Why do you think she can laugh at the time to come? She's prepared for it. She's ready for it. Let's write that down. She's prepared for the future. She plans ahead. She thinks ahead. She thinks, you know, we're going out on this, you know, wherever you're going, maybe we should put some snacks in the car, right? She plans ahead. See, you're already doing some of this stuff, ladies. Proverbs 31:26, she opens her mouth with wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. So she speaks wisdom and instruction. See, she teaches this kindness that she lives out. She speaks wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 31:30, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And that's number 8, she fears the Lord. That's Proverbs 31. That's all right there. Just take it, break it down. Simple little steps. I can focus on this one. I can work on this one. I can raise it up one bar. And then take some time and work on one of the other ones. Raise that up one bar. And as you go through the years and you keep raising these up, sooner or later you're going to realize, wow, I've accomplished a lot. I'm a black belt wife. So last topic here is to husbands. Let's write that down. To husbands. Proverbs 19:14. House and wealth are inherited from fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Prudent. Prudent means wise. It means practical. It means sensible. That's a synonym for all of those words. So let's use that one, because that makes for a really good note. If your wife is sensible, consider her a gift from God. If your wife is sensible, if she is wise, if she is prudent, consider her a gift from God. If God has blessed you with a wise woman, husbands, with a practical woman, with a prudent woman, with a sensible woman, then husbands, you should be grateful to God for that woman. We should thank God for our wives, and it's so easy to take a good wife for granted, especially as you go on through the years. It just becomes that's what she is. She's a Proverbs 31 woman. I'm used to it. No, guys, we need to realize what we have. And this is a very good reminder for every one of us husbands. If we thank God on a regular basis in our prayers for our wives, then we will be more prone to realize what a blessing we have because of her. What a blessing we have to have her in our life. So I want to throw a challenge at you men. And we talked at the very beginning of the year about prayer, and I introduced this idea that at night before you go to bed to just thank God. Thank God. Just spend time in thankfulness. Spend other prayer times for other things, but your prayer right before you go to bed, just thank God and keep it focused. And that's a great way to end the day. I can vouch for that. It's a wonderful prayer time to have and just to end the day. So guys, let me add to that. Make sure that you're never leaving your wife out. Every night when you're thanking God for things in your day, for the people in your day, make sure that she is always there, and try to pick something that she did that day to thank God for. Something very specific, not something so general, you know, but something very specific that she did that day, and try to find something different. And that'll cause you to be more aware of what she does. It'll cause you to look at things more, because if you're there at the end of the day and you're like, well, what did she do? What was it today? And you have to go back and think, and you're like, oh yeah, she did this. Thank you, God, for my wife who did this for me. That helps you to be more aware, and you start to see it more. What if you did that twice a day, guys? What if you did that in the early part of your day? Sometime when you're driving from one place to another in work or your lunch break, you just pause and you think, all right, God, I want to thank you for my wife. Oh, yeah, because of this quality. And guys, you do that twice a day. And you thank God. And that's just scripture. Be thankful for a God-fearing woman. And you're going to be more aware of the wife that you have. Our last note today goes back to Proverbs 31. And this wonderful woman, this picture of this perfect woman that feels unobtainable, but I hope this morning has become a little more obtainable looking to you. But we get to the end of this. In verse 28, we read this. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Guys, take leadership on this. Be the conductor of a symphony of praise or a choir of praise for your wife. Make sure that your children are praising your wife. Make sure that you are praising your wife. In the privacy of your own home, there with your family, have the whole family praise your wife, their mother. Let me give you a gem this morning, guys. You are going to want to listen up, I promise you. And ladies, you're going to like this too, but guys, this is a good one for you, I promise. Next verse. Here's what the man says. Here's the praise. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. That's guy-sized, isn't it? We can do that, right? I want you to learn this phrase. Let's learn this together. Say this with me. Say, many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Okay, so just guys, because this is for guys. Women, you're off the hook right now. You got Proverbs 31 to think about. You got enough. So just the guys, all right? This is guys, we're learning this. Okay, you're going to use this the rest of your life. I hope you do. I used it a long time ago. I got to where I wasn't using it as much. I need to get back to where I'm using it because this is good stuff. This is good stuff. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Kim's taking a picture. Oh, man, that's good stuff. Oh, my goodness. That's awesome. Oh, I wonder if I should warn Chris. It's coming. That's all right. I'll send him a screenshot of the verse about a woman can be the crown to her husband. Guys, use it. I heard a sermon years ago before I was even married. It was using a totally different version of scripture, so I learned it differently. But I like the ESV. That's easy. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Use that, guys. It'll be good for you. It'll be good for them. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. We just read that one in connection with the women, but now we're looking at it from the guy's side of things. If you have a wife who has a relationship with God, who fears him and follows the teachings of Jesus and the leading of the Holy Spirit inside of her, praise her for her faith. Encourage your wife's faith. Verse 31, give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Whoa, I just hit the wrong button on my tablet here. Bear with me. Okay, yeah, that's where we are. Okay, so don't just praise her in the house. This says, let her works praise her at the gates, or in the gates. Praise her publicly. This is not, you know, you and your children, that gets this idea inside the house. So we have these kind of three areas if we're thinking about this. Keep it simple. Praise her privately, praise her for her faith, and praise her publicly. Praise her privately, praise her for her faith, praise her publicly. Let's write this down. Husbands, praise your wife of noble character and inspire your children to also. Thank God for your wife privately with God, and then praise her publicly. Privately with your family, that's kind of public, but with more people than just you and God. Praise her for her faith. Praise her publicly. And watch what happens when you positively reinforce this Proverbs 31 wife. Guys, as you took notes, and I hope you did, because I told you you can't check out. This is for everybody. Proverbs 31, as you go through and you took those little 8 notes, you can just go by that, guys. When you see one of those 8 things, praise her for that. When she does something trustworthy, many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Build that trust. In Ephesians 5, Paul tells husbands that they are the Christ in the marriage relationship. That the wife is like the church, but the husband is like Christ. And Paul says, what does Jesus do for the church? Well, he lays himself down for her to make her holy, without blemish, without wrinkle or spot. Paul's not talking about her skin and complexion. He's talking about her spirit. He says, the way you do this, husbands, is that you are the spiritual head of the house, that you are to wash them with the water of the word, that we are to be the spiritual leaders of the house. And the outcome of that is that our wife is better. Our wife is more holy. Our wife is without blemish. Our wife is without wrinkle or spots. Go read it for yourself, Ephesians 5. I didn't have it in there. It was a little last minute addition because it just went in with this so perfectly. Guys, it's your responsibility. If you don't have a Proverbs 31 wife, you need to invest. You need to do your part. You encourage her. When she takes care of the family, many women have done excellently. You surpass them all. Encourage that Proverbs 31. Guys, we like scoreboards, don't we? Right? We like that. That's important to us as men. We like to know how we score points. We like to know how we win. We like to know what earns the points, what how much a touchdown is worth, how much a safety is worth, how much a field goal is worth. We need to know all those things. Women don't express that. But guys, let me speak to you in guy terminology. It's helpful for them to have a scoreboard. You give it to them. Let them know when they're putting points up there. When she plans ahead and she saves your house from disaster, whatever that might mean on whatever day. Some days disaster is a totally different definition than another day. And you catch it. You thank God privately and you praise her for it. Many women have done excellently, but you excel them all. Thanks for planning ahead. It's not so hard, guys. We can do that, right, guys? Yes? You go to Ephesians 5 and you look at that and you say, well, I don't have the wife I really wanted to have. Well, are you investing? Are you putting into it? Because it's a two-way street there. So, guys, I'm putting some things on your shoulders here on a day about women. Many women have done excellently. And when she's planting her vineyard, some of you guys might read that and say, oh, my wife's not planting a vineyard. Whatever it is that she does, that she invests in, that she puts her time into, if it's a hobby, if it's something that's helping the family, something, an extra a way of making money, whatever it is. You notice that, guys. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. When she's generous, when she speaks wisdom and instruction, when she exhibits her faith in the Lord, many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Praise her. It's biblical. It's biblical. Wise wisdom. We're way down here, but don't forget today, if you're blessed enough to still have your mother on this earth, call her and show your appreciation. Women, Aretha Franklin, okay? R-E-S-P-E-C-T, and honor. Be caring, kind-hearted, gracious. Don't be like a pig with a nose ring. Wives, you can be the Proverbs 31 wife. You just break it down. Use those principles and use what God's given you, and you just become the beautiful woman that God made you to be. And husbands, you be a part of that. You encourage her. You thank God for her. You be thankful for what you have. Women, wisdom. Pray with me. Father, thank you so much for all that you gave to us through your word this morning. I pray that we would take your wisdom and put it into practice. So much good would happen in this room if we would just put a portion of these pieces of wisdom into practice. Our marriages, our relationships would take huge steps forward. Father, I ask that you would be with those not yet married, that as they are collecting information like this, that they would file it away and understand that this is wisdom, 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 and that they would put it somewhere safe, that they would remember it so that when they are married, that they would be able to put these things to use. Father, pray for those that are new into their marriage, that you would bless them and that this wisdom would be something that would start patterns that would continue for the rest of their life together. I pray for those that have been married for a long time, that if things have gotten kind of old hat and they've gotten used to each other, that today would be a good reminder to resurrect some of these things that maybe they did earlier in their marriage. And it can bring some life to a marriage that's spanned decades. Father, thank you so much for all of this. Help us to put it into practice. Help us by your Spirit inside of us. Help us as we follow in the footsteps of your Son, Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.